Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
And yes, this is the midweek version of Fiber Talk,
where we're playing with needles.
That's right. Okay, we got short time here. Bunch of stuff to cover. Congratulations to Judy Blunt, who is our third winner of the Old Scott chart.
And yes, I'm very jealous.
Yes. Three of them provided by Nicola Parkman and company at Hands Across the Sea Samplers. So Judy Blunt wins the third one. And I communicated with Nicola today to tell her. Actually, I was going to have her send the charts to me, and then I would mail them because all three winners were in the States. And she said no, she would be happy to send them out. So she's sending them out. And great. I have a sense there's going to be more than just the chart in there, maybe a little something extra. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so, awesome. Yeah. So big thanks to Nicola Parkman and Hands Across the Sea Samplers. That was fun to do, have a giveaway like that.
You know, Nicola is such an enabler because, again, you know, this is, I know that I sometimes can be that person in other hobbies, but now I found my equal, my counterpart. Nicola might be the needlepoint evangelist.
She could be, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So in reef keeping, I was the reef evangelist, and Nicola might be that because now I look at those samplers at least twice a day and say, I want to do one of them. Like, I really do. There's a particular one I'm waiting for, though. So I may be waiting, or I may break down and get one of the charts anyway. I don't know. So I have definitely entered into the realm of the person who has a pile of charts. So congratulations to Nicola and you and Vanna Pfeiffer and Debbie Rowley and all the other people who have now brought me into the fold of whatever you want to call it. Crazy.
It's a dangerous crowd.
Yeah, it is, yes. Right? Okay. Yeah.
So, and Nicola, Hands Across the Sea, they have two things coming up. They have a pair of samplers from Sisters. And I think
cool.
It's just going to be a few months, but Sisters, so they each won a sampler from each sister. So I was thinking, how cool would that be to have those stitched and hanging on the wall?
Together, yeah.
Yeah, and then Nicola showed today a portion of a sampler she's stitching, and I'd heard of this, but I'd never seen anything where it's the girl who did it originally stitched it so it's reversible.
Wow.
Yeah. And I can't even imagine how you pull that off. So
yeah, that's the person who you could do that, Gary, because you have that level of
pickiness.
Stubborn. I was going to use stubbornness, but yes, that it's because that's the kind of challenge that you would enjoy. The idea of, can I actually do this so perfectly that you could look at it from both sides?
Yes.
I can so see you doing that.
Yes. Well, believe me, that caught my eye. Got to see how this is done. So
I could see this happening.
Yeah. So that's what's coming up from Hands Across the Sea. So
cool.
Yeah. That's they got themselves a parade of stuff coming out. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, got to get this. I meant to get this in last week, and we ran out of time. Well, we went off on that long tangent. So got to get this in this week. I follow Stephanie Pearl McPhee, known one of the great online names of all time, known as the Yarn Harlot.
Yes.
A knitting fiend. That woman, I bet the only time she isn't knitting is when she's sleeping. I mean, I just gotta be. But I started following her a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she's done three or four books, and I've read three of them. She's a tremendous writer. Her blog is, even if you don't ever pick up a knitting needle, her blog is worth following and reading because
it's fun.
Yeah. And she has done one or two posts, well, probably more than two posts that have actually brought a tear to my eye. I mean, she really has a way. I really enjoy reading her. So what she does every year, actually it's a year round thing because she's involved in the organization, is, and this also, connects with me, is the, she does the, for the Toronto People with AIDS Foundation. It's called the, I had it here. Oh, yes, the Friends for Life Bike Rally. This is its 19th year, And people who get involved in this rally ride from Toronto to Montreal. It's 600 kilometers, 373 miles over 6 days, which is not too bad, you know, 50 or 60 miles a day. That's not too bad. And so she raises money. She has a team every year, and she raises money, and I'm sure she is by far the largest, biggest fundraiser for this thing. But it's raising money for people in the Toronto area who have AIDS to get them drugs, counseling, whatever it might be. And she did, and now they're in the fundraising phase of this thing, but she did a post the other day, and there'll be a link for it on the page for this podcast, that it's titled, "Is That Still a Thing?" And many of the people involved in the fundraiser and the riders were on stationary bikes out on the street in Toronto just to raise awareness for this effort and for this bike ride. Mm-hmm. And some guy came up to her and asked what they were doing, and she explained it. And the guy said, "Do people still have AIDS? Is that still a thing?" And of course, you know, yes.
It's kind of shocking.
Right. Yeah. It's like, didn't we cure that and make that go away 5 years ago kind of thing?
Yeah.
So she wrote a blog post about that and her reaction, and it's very good. But then of course, as a way to make people aware that, they're raising money for this thing. And I've contributed to her team the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And, it's a worthy cause. I mean, we're here in the States, but I mean, AIDS is all over the world, and to help out people, especially people who can't get the right drugs and treatment is certainly a worthy cause. So, put this in here. One, follow Stephanie's yarn. It's yarnharlot.ca. You have to do .ca for Canada, because she's a Toronto, Canada. Consider contributing to her team. And she also does this thing that she calls karmic balancing. And so knitting people will contribute skeins of yarn and other things. And if you help out in any way, either by giving money or by promoting her thing, and send her an email that says I helped in the, I think it says I helped in the subject line, then you go into a pool, and there's a good chance that you will get some kind of karmic balancing gift where.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's a neat little thing she does. And you can tell she just inundated with gifts to give out.
Yeah.
So,
I like that.
The whole thing is really great.
So it's interesting that you brought that up, because, I was lucky enough to even just be a spectator, to the New York version of that. So that ride is called the Breaking AIDS Ride. And they've been doing it for, I want to say around 25 years, because I have a very, very good friend who has been participating in the ride either as a rider or a volunteer for, I think, close to 20 years now, since maybe longer, actually. And what they do is they ride, it's very similar. They ride from Boston to New York City. And originally the money was going towards AIDS research and things like that. And now, the money goes directly towards an organization called Housing Works.
A what?
New York's an organization called Housing Works in New York City, which is it's basically a place that provides housing to people with AIDS, but also provides housing to homeless, you know, at-risk youth, kids who are, you know, perhaps have been thrown out of their homes because they're gay or bisexual, their parents, you know, are not accepting of them, et cetera, et cetera. So it encompasses not just the AIDS research anymore, but all of the other things that are sort of, you know, have over the years been tied into that. So Housing Works in New York City, great organization, and Breaking AIDS goes every year to support that. And it's just, the event itself is really awesome. I mean, aside from the riders, I mean, the ride is 300 miles-ish, plus or minus. But I mean, all the goofy things that everybody does, all the volunteers, it's a really great thing. So it's a very similar thing. So, either the Yarn Harlot thing or, Breaking AIDS, if you're in the New York area and you want to ride, it's in early September this year. It's usually a little later. I think it's September 8th through the 10th. So check it out if you've got a bike and you want to ride, or if you have a motorcycle and you want to volunteer. Not that I would know anybody like that. Gary.
Oh, Horn. I see what your play is. You're not going to actually turn a crank. You're just going to park your butt on your motorcycle and ride along. I see. Oh, okay. I smelled that out. All right.
I know one of us is a cyclist and one of us is a motorcycle rider. So I'm just saying.
I see how this game is played. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. I participation can take place in many different ways. So
blah, blah,
it can be
blah.
Donation of money. It could be riding. It can be volunteering. Yeah. You know, there's
okay.
lots of ways.
Blah,
just
blah,
saying.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Okay.
I got it now. All right. I see.
There
I see
you go.
It.
Breaking AIDS, Boston, New York.
Okay. Okay. So can your friend, can we put in, did he raise money as a team or individually, or how does that work?
Yep. Yep. They do individually for the individual riders. Yes. I will get the details and I will pass it along to you and we will put it in the website as well.
Okay. Excellent. So there we go. Two things. I mean, these things are great. I mean, I've done the last 2 years.
They really are.
Last 2 years I've done a 6-day bike tour with my sister where we've ridden 375 or 80 miles just on our own, just for our own thing, mm-hmm. not a fundraiser. But these fundraisers, sometimes the fundraising part can get to be a real hassle. But, these are worthy causes, and there's all kinds of these bike things, rallies for that are fundraisers, and to contribute to those things is – they're all worth, I mean, around here, there's multiple sclerosis rides that are huge, mm-hmm. just gigantic rides that raise a ton of money. So, all these good things. Okay, so links for both of those in the sheet for, or on the page for today's podcast, so you can contribute either place. And and follow the Yarn Harlot. Believe me, it's good reading. She posts, I don't know, every 5 or 6 days, and it's really good reading.
Cool.
So, yep. Okay, got to talk about, now I am hardly an expert on top flight needlepoint or needlework. You know, I'm not a judge. I'm just regular stitcher, you know. But every now and then, and I follow several groups, and I look at all the things that people stitch. Needlepoint Nation, I love following all the works in progress that people post on Sundays. And the whole thing, every now and then a piece will absolutely jump off the screen at me and say, wow. And this happened Sunday. Actually, it happened twice in the past week since we last talked. I think believe it was Sunday. Dale Wyant, who lives here in Illinois, Dale Wyant posted a Melissa Shirley canvas of a barn with grass in the front, tall grass in the front, that Dale had stitched. And she says that she got help coaching and whatnot from Amrita Goldberg at the Needles Excellency, which is over on I think north of Chicago somewhere. And I'm telling you that picture of that barn and the way she stitched that, I think Dale's a she. Though the only picture on Dale's site was a family. So, and it was no indication of whether Dale was the husband or the wife, but I think it's the wife, Dale. The way she stitched that piece, it got into the photography realm for me in that you could see the light. You know, if you look on the barn, you can see the light, and I just stopped. I was scanning through and I absolutely just stopped at that one and thought, wow, this is more than just throwing thread on a canvas. She achieved, you know, what I've talked about before, those people who just bring a painted canvas to life, really happened there. That grass is just right and adds that dimension, that depth to the piece. And I really thought it was a standout piece, and I just wanted to just mention it and talk about it.
Now, let me ask you a question. Was it, do you think that this was elevated because of the thread choice as far as material or the color choice or how things were blended, or was it a matter of the stitches, or was it the photography of the piece itself?
Well, photography aside, I would say yes. I mean, it looked, the stitch choices.
All of the above?
You know, yeah, the stitch choices, the color, it looks like she's got some shading there on the barn. that grass, I'd love to see what she used for stitches for that grass, because it just works perfect. What she did with the trees behind, different stitches, one lighter and another darker. I just really, that one, you know, it may not ever, you know, it could be entered in 50 contests and never win a thing. It doesn't really matter. To me, I look at that thing and I see, you know, I see light. I see the light that you want in a photograph is what I see. And it's beyond just some threads with different colors and different stitches that are interesting and well played. There was that extra dimension for me that, I just sat and just looked at it and applauded for Dale, because I just thought that was one of those that's just really good.
It's fun when you find one like that, because it really, it inspires you, not only because it's a beautiful thing, but it's also, it's something you can look to and aspire to, you know, like what are they doing that I have never done or been able to do or have thought to do,
right,
you know,
right.
What were they able to achieve? Because especially with painted canvas, because I can understand why people look for stitch guides, because they're asking for somebody, tell me what to do with this so that it doesn't just end up looking like paint by numbers.
Right.
So to have something like this where somebody can show you, like I would love to see the painted canvas itself unstitched next to that.
Yes.
Because I think that would be a really good educational, you know, opportunity to see how somebody translated just the simple painted canvas into something and was able to really bring it to life that way. Like I think would be really interesting to look at.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now this is just one of those instances, and I've seen it several times, by you know, known stitchers, you know, where you'd expect. But I've also seen there's a whole series of painted canvases with Russian Santas, and I've seen a couple of those done where the long floor length robe and the fur collars and edging, where people have really, you know, really pulled it off and made it a three-dimensional eye catcher. I mean, I've seen that done two or three times, but this one, just a simple barn in a field with some trees behind it. And I for me, you know, it was just personal opinion, but just for me, I thought she really absolutely nailed it. I think it's just gorgeous. It's off to be framed, and I got to believe that when it's put in a frame with a mat, it's just going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yep. So.
Good for her.
So that was one. And then now I'm going to sound like I'm quickly becoming an Arlene Cohen groupie. But Arlene, you got to watch Arlene's floss tube video. She does such a good job, and you can see the teacher in her. She organizes, she has different subjects, and goes through and presents them well, and I really enjoy watching her videos. But this past, her most recent one, number 6, I think it is, she showed a Curtie Biggs piece that she stitched, and what she did with the piece was she eliminated some of the elements because she felt it was too busy. So she eliminated some of the elements, and then she did it in dark blues. And you can always immediately have my eye when you do dark blues, because that's my favorite color by far. But what caught my eye in the video, and there's pictures on our website for this thing, but they do not do the justice. When she held that thing up in front of the camera in the video, there is a dimension and a richness. It was like a bejeweled, I mean, it's just like jewels on there, because there's a lot of beads and stuff. And it's so dimensional and so colorful and so much substance to it. For, you know, and it's a counted charted canvas. I mean, it's a Curtie Biggs, very distinctive style that she has. I actually hit pause and like, wow, that is, you know, and she took out just the right elements to open up the piece a little bit. And I bravo to Arlene. I really thought she really demonstrated her skill, not only in stitching, but seeing what the piece could be and then executing it. And, that's another, it's just beautiful. And she sent a couple pictures. I asked her to send a couple pictures, and she did, and we'll post them. But you got to just go watch the video and see that thing in front of a camera, because to me, that's the other one that stuck out all week for me. It's like, wow, number one, I got to get that piece, get that chart, and I got to see if I can even come close to what Arlene pulled off, because I just think it's really special.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds good.
Yep.
I'd like to check that out for sure. And I owe Arlene a picture because I've been working on this Debbie Rowley piece and I haven't taken a picture in a little while. So I promised I would post up another one. So I'll do that shortly.
Okay. So there we go. Yeah. So bravo to Dale Wyant and Arlene Cohen. Two that stood out for me, like I'm some, you know, just, yeah, I mean, it's just, to me, it's just like going to the art museum and, you know, something hits you and something hits me and they have different, but those
well,
two.
Everybody has a different thing that's going to resonate with them or is going to speak to them, you know, due to experience, or it could be something that is in your subconscious that you saw as a child and was meaningful to you at that time, and that now you see it as an adult and you have no recollection of the original thing, but now it holds a place for you. It could be anything, really, but that's kind of the great thing about art, is that everyone is going to see it differently.
Yep. So, yep, those two, just wanted to get some mentions in for those. And then we got to wrap this thing up, but upcoming guests, we have a rack of people coming up.
Yes, definitely.
Yep. Going to have this coming Sunday, we will have 4 people from Nordic Needle. So
yes.
We have the two owners who have owned the shop or the business for two plus years. And then we have the purchasing person and the person who manages the store who have been with the company forever. And so we're going to get to talk to all 4 of them and learn about Nordic Needle and all the Scandinavian stitching. And oh, I put together a list of questions for them. I had to finally stop myself. It was getting ridiculous. So that's coming up Sunday. And then next Sunday, we'll have Gene Lee from The Attic in Mesa, Arizona. The big shop specializes in samplers. And so we'll have Gene that. Then coming up, not sure what the order will be, but Mary Corbett's going to come back. But we're going to go one step more. Mm-hmm. Mary's sister Sarah is going to join us.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so we'll have fun with that. Vanna, I've had a couple of exchanges with Vanna, and then watching her stitch with me video where she stitched and didn't talk. We got to have Vanna back. So Vanna's coming back. Got a million questions for her, and I've been working on using a couple of her techniques in cross stitching. So I have questions for Vanna. Then Nicole of Nicole's Needles, with her one picture on the wall, she's going to join us. Monica Pratt from Welcome Stitchery, my store.
Oh, yay.
I'm just going to call it my store. Monica's going to join us, so that'll be fun. And then Preston and Grace Lynch, daughters of Don Lynch. Don also is a needle pointer, but Preston and Grace, they have a business, a painted canvas business, two sisters. They're going to join us coming up. And then Don said he would too. He's busy at the time, but he's going to join us too. So we're going to have that. And that's just the beginning. I got several more on the hook here. And, but anyway, so that's what's coming up. And we got to wrap up. So that's it for this week. Thanks for listening.
Take care.